Before I begin the message, I wanted to give you just a heads up. Last week, we had a little difficulty with the sound of our live stream. It was very, very low and very staticky, but with the thanks to the persistence of some folks, it was cleared up by the time of the sermon. I did not cause that static. I did not cause the sound problem, but it was cleared up. I had a chance to listen to it this past week. So if you did not hear last week because you tuned in and you couldn't hear it or staticky, you can hear last week's message by going to about the sermon, and then it's cleared up. So we hopefully have cleared all that up. I just want to let you know about that. If you have a Bible, would you please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4? We're gonna continue our series on Q&A. Last week I talked about what about work, and today we're going to talk about what about stones. And I'm going to read this passage to begin with, and then we'll be going to other passages during the message, and then we will finish up in this. The bulk of the message will be from here. So let's read Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 25 to 32. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let's pray. And Father, I pray and ask that you will open your word up to us this morning. Help us to see how we throw stones at other people, many times stones of judgment. I pray that you'll find our hearts receptive and ready to hear what you have to say. But Lord, it's not just enough just to hear. The Bible also says we need to do. And so I pray that you'll not only help us to hear, but then to take on the challenge to do something about it. So, Father, thank you for your presence today. Thank you for your word. Speak to us through your word. And then as I bring the message this morning, would you help me to step aside, that we might see Jesus and Jesus only, for it's in his name I pray. Amen. A Greek philosopher named Bion made this comment, and I'll explain it. He said, "Those boys throw stones at frogs for sport. The frogs do not die in sport, but in earnest." Now let me explain. Let's suppose that you're at a pond. You have a bunch of boys down here, and in the pond are lily pads, and on top of the lily pads are frogs. One of the sports that boys or girls would like to do is to see how many frogs they can pick off. So just picture that a boy is picking up or a girl is picking up a stone and throwing it at the lily pad or the frog. Some frogs would die, and some frogs would dive. Now, let me give you a more appropriate example. How many of you have ever played darts? Okay, you know a dartboard is usually a circle and has a bullseye, and that's the goal, hit the bullseye. Well, let's suppose that we have somebody whose aim is not that well or not that great. And so they take one dart and they throw it and they barely hit the dartboard. They take another throw and they hit the wall. They take another throw, and maybe, just maybe, it's a little closer to the bullseye, but not quite as far away. And they take another one, and it either hits the wall or drops to the ground. Now, you're saying, what in the world do those have anything to do with anything? Well, actually, they actually tell the story together, because, you see, we are good at throwing verbal stones and verbal darts. Sometimes we throw them randomly. It's almost like we reach down to pick up gravel and throw it in hopes that it hits somebody. But there are other times that we are sometimes dead on. And so people dive, or they die by our words. There are some people who find it sport to take out other people and to see how many people they can throw and hit. Today, watch the news, and you can see that whole thing coming to life. What I want to do today is I want to talk to you as a Christ follower, to me as a Christ follower. Why do we throw stones at each other? Why do we throw stones of judgment at somebody else? But the bigger question is this: how do we stop? How can we stop throwing stones? And so I want to take you back to the Bible and show you a couple different options here, or a couple different thoughts. The first thing I want to do is I want to take you to some ancient stories. Now, I want to take you to two Old Testament stories. They are separate, involving separate people. But what you will notice is that neither one of them is a fun story, and neither one of them has someone reacting the same way. All right, so the first one we will go to is in 2 Samuel chapter 16. Now, let me give you the history up to that point. David has two sons, Absalom and Amnon. He also has a daughter named Tamar. Now, Amnon and Tamar are actually half-brother and half-sister. But the Bible tells us that Amnon is in love with his sister. So through a ruse, through something that's evil, he gets her to come and take care of him, and he takes advantage of her. But even in that culture, that type of activity was wrong. And so what we find as we read the scriptures is that Tamar lives in the house of Absalom the rest of her life in shame and disgrace. But here's the backstory. David, the father, does nothing. He knows what's happened to Tamar, his daughter, but he does absolutely nothing. We know he's upset at Absalom and at Amnon, but he does absolutely nothing. But as we read the story, there is somebody who is upset, and that is Absalom. He has watched his sister for 2 years live in shame and disgrace. And so Absalom makes a deal with some people and says, I want my brother taken out. And so Amnon is killed. But Absalom doesn't stop there. He is so mad at his father that he decides to overthrow the kingdom. He said, I'm going to displace David. And he begins to send out feelers throughout saying, do this, do this, do this, until finally David realizes that the kingdom is being taken out of his hand. And instead of fighting for the kingdom, David runs. Now, let's pick it up in chapter 16, because this is where I want you to see. In chapter 16, David is, first of all, deceived by a man named Ziba. Now, Ziba is Mephibosheth's kind of overseer or guardian. Now, Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son, and David had made a promise to Jonathan that he would take care of his family. And so Mephibosheth was lame. He had been dropped as a baby by a nurse. And so David has said to Mephibosheth, as long as you are alive, this table is yours. And he also put someone in charge of his property. He restores property to him and says, put somebody in charge. And Ziba is the one who's in charge. But what happens is Ziba lies to David as to why Mephibosheth did not come out to see him. So that's the start of it. But I want you to pick it up at verse 5 with me, and let's read this together. It says, when King David came to Bahurim, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And as he came, he cursed continually. And he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And Shimei said, get out, you man of blood, you worthless man. The Lord has avenged on you the blood of the house of Saul. In other words, he is saying David is running because he took hold of the kingdom of Saul illegally. And God is getting even with him. Now, in David's army is a man named Abishai, and you can see that in verse 8. Abishai says, hey, David, let me take care of this dude. He shouldn't be treating you like this. And David, I don't know if it's shame. I don't know if David is simply saying, you know, I don't want to deal with this. I don't know if he's overcome with just whatever Absalom is doing. But he says, leave him alone. Now, let's read what happens in verse 13. So David went along on the hillside, or David and his men went on the road, while Shimei went along on the hillside opposite him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and flung dust. Now, I don't know, you should be able to get a picture of what's happening here. David is walking, and here is this man over here, Shimei, who's throwing stones, he's kicking dust, he's doing everything he can to disrespect David. He's throwing stones at David and not respecting him as the king. That's story number one. Story number two is in 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, I'll give you the backstory. Elisha is taking over for Elijah. And he is going out to meet Elijah as the prophet. And as he goes, we pick it up in chapter 2, verse 23. He went up from there to Bethel, and while he was going up on the way, some small boys came out of the city and jeered at him, saying, go on up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. And he turned around, and when he saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And the two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of the boys. Now, you're going to go, whoa, that doesn't sound like a very good one. But there's a backstory to all of this. There's some lessons to learn. Number one, these were not little boys. The Hebrew shows that these boys were at least 20 years of age. And they were a gang. And so Elisha was not going to put up with the gang. But the second part of it is they showed him no respect. As an adult, they showed him no respect. In fact, they despised his bald head. Now, we don't know why Elisha was bald. He may have shaved his head, which was a sign of being a prophet, which meant that they were despising him for being bald or for being a prophet, or it may have been natural. We don't know. All that we know is that there was scorn in their voice. They threw stones at Elisha. In fact, the Hebrew says, go up, baldy, go up, baldy. Well, Elisha wasn't going to put up with that. He wasn't going to put up with the lack of respect. He wasn't going to put up with the gang running things. And he commanded two she-bears, and they came out, and 42 of them lost their lives. Now, there's a lesson here. The real lesson is this. Never, ever make fun of a bald person. Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't resist that one. The whole point, though, that I'm going to show you is our contemporary lessons to learn. So keep those stories in mind, because stones were thrown at David, stones were thrown at Elisha because of a lack of respect, because of a lack of caring, and a lack of compassion. Okay? Tragically, for some people, throwing stones is a sarcastic sport. They love throwing verbal stones. For some people, it's a vendetta. You did it to me, I'm going to get even with you. And I'm going to throw stones at you. For other people, like in John chapter 8, it's the Pharisees who brought this woman caught in adultery to Jesus and threw stones at her out of self-righteousness. Look at us. We're not like her. So people throw stones for very different reasons. Now, the question is, why? Why do we throw stones? And I'll need you to go back to the passage in Ephesians now, because this is where we'll spend the rest of our morning. Ephesians chapter, why do we throw stones? Well, look at verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 4. I didn't read this on purpose. He says, we need to put off our old self. You see, the reason we throw stones is because of our old nature. Because of our old man. Our old man is sinful. And our old man controls us. And so what Paul is saying is, we need to get rid of the old man. But let's keep on reading here. We need to put off our old self, which belongs to the former manner of life. You see that? That's not what we are now. And he says we are to put on the new self. So if you want to control what you say, if you want to control what you do, you get rid of the old man. You get rid of his control on your life, and you put on the new self. And that's what Paul's going to tell us how to do. So he tells us to put off the old self, put on the new self. And what Paul's going to do, and here's what I want you to liken it to. I want you to think that Paul's going into your closet and he's getting rid of clothes. Okay? Some of you, like me, have clothes that, you don't wear anymore. I have a lot of t-shirts. Joe would love to go through my closet and dump them. I won't let her. Why? Because I like them. But I want you to look at Paul as saying, I'm going to go into the closet of your life. I'm going to go into the closet of your heart, and I'm going to tell you what to get rid of. I'm going to tell you what to get rid of, but I'm also going to tell you what to put in there. So as you take away clothes, you put new clothes back in. Okay, so there are four things Paul tells us we need to stop doing. You can see that in verse 25, the first one. We need to tell or to speak the truth. He says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Here's two simple words. Stop lying. That's what Paul says in two simple words. Stop lying. You say, but they're not really big lies. They're little. A lie is a lie is a lie. And so Paul is telling us to speak the truth with our neighbor. Stop lying. The second thing he says is to make us sure that we resolve our anger. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. One of the questions, I'm not going to say much about this because one of the questions in the Q&A is what about anger? So we're going to deal with anger specifically in the future. But what Paul tells us to do is to resolve it. Take care of it. Get rid of it. Okay, the third lesson he tells us is he tells us to work hard. Verse 28, he says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. Commentary on today, too many people want their hand out, but they don't want to work. It's bad when we have a local employer who says, I'm having trouble fulfilling a responsibility that I've always done with you because I can't get enough people to work. They'd rather sit at home than work. Unfortunately, we have an entitlement mentality that has said, I'd rather sit at home and eat bonbons and watch TV than work hard. So he tells us to work hard. And the fourth thing Paul tells us is to speak constructively. He says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion. We have a choice, folks. We can either choose constructive speech or destructive speech. Constructive or destructive. And we have the choice to make. Interestingly enough, the word corrupting in the Greek also is the word unwholesome. The word unwholesome carries in and kind of is an umbrella over off-color jokes, ethnic jokes, profanity, vulgarity, gossip. All of this is part of unwholesome talk. He says we should not have. But then, I like what Paul does, is he tells us what we also need to put in the trash. He says, I want you to do some things, but you need to do some things and put them in the trash. This is verse 31. We're going to just take it word by word, and I'll have the explanation as we go. He says, first of all, let's get rid of all bitterness. Bitterness is the Greek word for longstanding resentment. It's brooding over past offenses. It's harboring grudges and rehearsing the insult. It's where you keep replaying in your mind over and over and over and over again all this stuff that's happened, and you don't deal with it. And it builds up into bitterness. The second word Paul uses is, he says, to get rid of wrath. Wrath is wild rage. It's the passion of the moment. It's like putting gas on a fire and you think it's only kerosene. And you know what happens? It blows up. That's what wrath is. Wrath is that blow up. And in many cases, it dissipates. But look at the damage that it leaves behind. So we need to get rid of wrath. And then he tells us to get rid of anger. Now, just as wrath is outward, anger is internal smoldering. So wrath is to somebody, and anger is, I'm going to hold all this in here, I'm going to let it smolder, I'm going to let it build, I'm going to keep it inside, but man, I'm really angry. So number four, he tells us to get rid of, is clamor. It's not a word we use a lot of. I mean, how many times can you say in the last week, you said, I use the word clamor? But it literally means a shout or an outcry of strife or public outburst. We hear that a lot right now, public outburst, cries of strife. And that's what the word means. It's clamor. The fifth word that he uses is the word slander. This is the ongoing defamation of a person's character. In other words, it may or may not be true. And here's the thing, folks. What you hear may be true. But you need to ask yourself this question. Do I need to pass that on? Sometimes the best thing to do is to keep our mouth shut and not say a word. True or not? But unfortunately, defamation or slander is a big thing in our day and age. And the last one is malice. Malice means wickedness or depravity. It's the umbrella word for all evil, okay? So when we talk about malice, we're saying this is including everything that we've just talked about and other evil. So let's ask the question. How important, then, is dealing with these? Well, let me show you a scripture, and you may want to turn there. If you don't, that's fine. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. You see, we have to deal with the impact of these things that Paul has said, put in the trash, that we don't trash. Look what Jesus said. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So, what is in here, what happens to it? It comes out here. If I have this in here, it will be out here. Guaranteed. Because Jesus said that's what was going to happen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, if there's wrath here, if there's bitterness here, if there's anger here, if there's clamoring here, guaranteed, it's coming out there. So, with all this, then, what are we supposed to do? How do we handle this? The answer is verse 32. And this is where I want to bring us to a close this morning. Verse 32, Paul tells us there are three things. We get rid of the old man, we put in the new man. There are three things that we need to do. Number one, we're to be kind. we're to be kind. Now, I realize that kindness is not easy, but kindness is a characteristic of Jesus. Kindness is a characteristic of being Christ-like. It's the opposite of being harsh and sharp. The only time Jesus was hard at all was against the religious hypocrites. It was the sinners who came to him that he was kind and loving and compassionate to. We need to be kind. Kindness hones the edges of our words and wraps them in grace. See, you may tell a truth, but kindness takes that, whatever you want to say, and kind of wraps it in grace. And then, first of all, it says, do I say what I need to say? Do I need to say this or pass it on? The second thing is as I do that, can I do it kindly? The second thing Paul tells us to do, he says we are to be tender-hearted. Now, here's something for your funny bone. The Greek word for tender-hearted literally means to have good intestines. To have good intestines. In other words, compassion, the feeling of empathy, that you feel what other people are feeling. That's what he means, to be tender-hearted, to sense what somebody else is sensing, to feel what somebody else is feeling, and live with compassion. And finally, he says we are to forgive. And I'm not going to go too far into this because that's another one of those Q&As that are coming down the road. But we need to realize that we have been forgiven to forgive. We have been forgiven to forgive. Now let me bring all this to a close. When I was in college, and some of you who have been there or are there now, you understand that there's a lot of reading in college. There's a lot of outside reading. I hated outside reading. Well, I had a professor that wanted us to read certain books, and then we had to make reports of these books. And I read a book by a man I had never heard of before. His name was Francis Schaeffer. I was in college, and I had never heard of Francis Schaeffer. So he was on the accepted author list. Well, I happened to find this book by him called The Mark of a Christian. And I thought, this is it. It was only like 30 pages long. I thought, this is great. I'm going to be able to do this, read this. And of course, it didn't go. It didn't fly. The professor knew it was a real skinny book and short book. And he said, no, Bill, that's not enough. You have to do another one. But here's what Francis Schaeffer said. The mark of the Christian is a four-letter word. What is it? L-O-V-E. Love is the mark of the Christian. And if we want people to know that we are Christ followers, if we want people to know that we love Jesus, we must love them. That means that we dump and trash all those things in our closet that don't need to be there, and that we replace all that with something better. Something that Jesus and God, well, that God has offered us. Put these in your closet. Be kind. Be tenderhearted. Be forgiving. And when people see that in us, that will change everything. It will change everything. It will change their outlook. It will change how they see you. It will change how they see Jesus, because they see it in us that we love, that we're kind and we're tender-hearted and that we're forgiving. But to make that happen, there's also some things we need to get rid of. We need to get rid of the old man, those old clothes. Dump them, trash them, and fill it with new clothes. That's my challenge for you this week. That's my challenge for me. To begin to look at how I treat other people. Do I throw stones of judgment? Do I throw stones putting people down? Or do I throw stones that are constructive, not destructive? What about my language? Is my language wholesome? Are my thoughts wholesome? Do I share with people things that don't need to be shared, but instead keep them to myself? And if I have to be honest with people, do I wrap it in grace? And do I wrap it in love? You know, nobody else can make that choice but you. We all have that choice. And so I pray that you will take the challenge this week to begin to ask yourself, what do I need to get rid of? What kind of clothes do I need to put in my closet? Get rid of the old man. Bring in the new man. And stop throwing stones. Let's pray. And Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the pointedness of it, that it keeps coming at us and keeps coming at us. But at the same time, Paul wraps his words in love and grace. At the same time as he's telling us to take off the old man, he's also telling us, put on this new man. Be kind, be tenderhearted, be forgiving. So help us to stop throwing stones at other people. Help us to deal with what's in our hearts so that it doesn't come out in our mouth. Thank you for these folks who are here this morning, and thank you for the challenge that you've given all of us. For those who are online, I thank you for their willingness to just check in and say, I want to hear. And I pray that you will be with them as they wrestle with the same thing that we wrestle with. Help us to stop throwing stones at each other, but instead to throw love. Thank you for who you are. Be with us this week and help us to honor you in all things. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. You online, thank you for checking in with us this morning. Have a great week. Thank you.